Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Human Side of Learning and Talent Technologies. My name is Bennett Jensen, and I will be moderating some fun and fast-paced conversations about what we're seeing in the world of learning and talent technology. Our goal is to help you navigate trends and engage, manage, and continue to develop your people. With me today, as always, Chris Bond, CEO at Blue Water, and Tiffany Faulkner, our VP of Global Service Delivery. She's in charge of all of the service delivery globally. Today we're going to focus on technology. Technology in learning and talent, technology in the human capital management world, just technology in general and how it's being leveraged and used by us and by our clients. Some tips and tricks and certain things that we see, some pitfalls and some lack of functionality or configurability or, you know, all those types of things in technology we're going to really focus on today. Talk through how it's impacting employee engagement and learning and technology, or learning and talent technology in general. So Chris, I wanted to start today really about the conversation around employee engagement and how does technology impact employee engagement? What are people doing to grow employee engagement or potentially negatively impact employee engagement? Mm-hmm. And just how does that all work together?
Well, I think, thanks, Bennett. Glad to be here today and yet again on the podcast with you two, Tiffany.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. See, we're just walking all over it. You know, I think one of the things that kind of strikes me is that we're much more engaged with technology when people are involved. And I've got a really great example. Did you guys watch the SpaceX launch last night?
I missed it.
I did.
Four astronauts. How engaged was I? Because there's four people sitting on top of that rocket. Yet SpaceX has been launching spacecraft up to go to the International Space Station all the time. But wait a second. There's four people that are participating in technology in order to be able to go drive that thing forward. That was pretty awesome, pretty cool. Plus, it was a night launch, which are always fun to be able to go and see. And so I look at that and I'm like, okay, that was pretty awesome because, yeah, they're going into outer space. But people and technology just have to be so connected together. I think that it's critical. So one of the things that we focus on is the overall employee experience, and that however you do it, and it can be good or it can be bad in terms of experience, technology has a really critical role. Sure. In how you're engaging people inside your organization. So we've got an entire process, and it's our employee experience lifecycle that really starts out at the beginning, recruiting. How are you using technology to recruit people is critical. Once they're recruited, now I've got to onboard them. And in this virtual world that we have today, onboarding virtually and using technology becomes critical. Then we have to manage people, we pay them, we develop them, we promote them. All of these items point back to a direct level of engagement using technology to drive that right employee experience. And it also creates all this layer of data that we can now begin to go analyze in order to be able to make future decisions, and data that can allow the individual employee to make future decisions as well. So thinking about that life cycle in technology of recruit, onboard, manage, pay, develop, promote with a focus on employee engagement wrapped in data, for me becomes critical as we look at how technology enables the strategies and the plans that we have, remembering, just like on the launch, it's all about the people. It's the people sitting at the top of the rocket. It's the people that develop the rocket. It's the people that are monitoring the rocket. All of that is really a human element that I think is vitally important. And if we get too technology-focused, we forget the human. And if Sure. we get too human-focused, we forget the technology. There's got to be a balance in that process that really allows organizations to begin to focus on what the experience of the employee is. And done right, it can be incredibly productive and beneficial to the organization. Done wrong, it can be a miserable experience for a prospect or for an employee, and now you're in a big honking mess.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that you mentioned the SpaceX launch and just the engagement level there. I think as consumers or as individuals, it's super easy for us to find what we want to be fully engaged in. You know, you put a sports video game in front of me or any kind of sporting event in front of me, I'm 100% engaged. I'm right there with it. I'm not looking away, you know, especially if there's a little bit of money on it or something like that.
But you found a different way to engage.
Exactly, yeah. I could watch a game that I have no interest in at all, but if I have a dollar on it, then I'm fully engaged. So it's just finding those things that get you engaged. How do you translate that into the work world, right? I think that's a big challenge is I'm not going to be as engaged at work as I would be on something that I love doing unless I love my job and unless work gives me that experience and gives me that engagement level. So I think finding the right technology to help support that is key, but it goes so much farther than that as far as being engaged with your team, being engaged with the technology that you're using, and just being engaged with the overall mission of the organization that you're working for. I think that's pretty critical too.
Well, I'm glad you're here and fully engaged today.
Me too.
You're helping us. So let's start on the recruiting side, because that's the first point that you look at the potential opportunity to engage people.
Sure.
And now we're engaging a prospect in the process. So it's that first point of contact and engagement. And hey, if you're going to apply for a job, you probably really want to be engaged. Right? Mm-hmm. You're looking for a new job, a new opportunity. Most people don't just put out a resume or an application just to apply. They're really looking for something unique or different inside what they're doing. So that recruiting point, you have somebody who's willingly engaging, mm-hmm. which is great. That's a fantastic opportunity to start. But now technology, you can either have a really good engagement or a really poor engagement with that individual, a really great experience or a really poor experience. And that really sets on the path that potential employee's career inside the organization. Or maybe they're going to go find somebody else because there's a lot of competition out there that are recruiting as well.
Well, typically when you apply to a job, you don't apply to one job. Typically you apply to multiple jobs. So then the response from each of those kind of gives you where you're going to start measuring different organizations against each other. Do I really want to work there? Is this somewhere where I could see myself? Hey, look, they thought I was important. They responded. All of those things are going through a candidate's or a prospect's head when they're looking for a job. They're typically not just coming to you and only you for that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think the employee, when we talk about employee experience, I think recruiting is that opportunity for an organization to start the employee experience before you're even an employee. And making it a positive one will only have positive results for that candidate because they understand that if my experience was positive going through the recruiting process, which nobody loves, I don't think nobody loves trying to find a job, no one loves having to sift through hundreds of resumes to try to find that right person. But if that experience is positive for both the recruiter, but especially the candidate, then I'm off to a great start and know that I'm probably coming into an organization that's going to support me and develop me and help me grow, versus if I'm on the flip side of that and, man, I just went through the worst experience ever, but a job's a job, it's probably not going to lead to something that employee is going to want to continue on with or be excited about. So I think that's, like I said, it's a great opportunity to start that employee experience before they've even been hired, but also, you know, kind of blend that into what the future will hold for that employee. So, Tiffany, what specific examples might, you know, have you seen or from other organizations about some tips and tricks about what makes that employee experience start so great even before they're an employee? Is it all about communication? What kind of things can organizations do during the recruiting process to really kick that off the right way?
Sure. So I think making it as simple as I can, it's about how the organization was able to make the candidate feel during that process. So at this point, there's a lot about the way that they feel about the organization or what they perceive the organization feels about them. You hit on something really important, Bennett, is some people will accept it because they need a job, right? But how you engaged with them during that process changes their level of motivation when they come into the organization, right? If you're not a motivated employee, you come in and you're looking at it as a job, as a job, as a job, well, that's going to cause issues and tension for both the employer and the employee, right? So setting it up straight off the bat with being intentional about how you make that employee feel about the process. The other thing that I think is super important is we have really moved, and this is pre all 2020, is we've moved into this different landscape where it's not just about the employees are coming to you for the job, right? It's a dance between the potential employer and the candidate. It's just as much about what they can offer your organization is what you can offer them. Because if you have nothing to offer back, even from the way that you make them feel in the process to how you continue to engage during the life cycle, if you can't articulate that in that beginning process, I promise you somebody else will be able to articulate it. I think it's very rare now that we hear people accepted a position because of the pay, right? It used to be, they offered me the most money, that's the one I took. I think that that's becoming more and more rare. Now, you know, what you can pay people is important, but it's also what they can get during their time working for you. Hardly anybody has a pension to offer at the end of it, right? So there's no, come on in for 33 years and I'll give you a gold watch and a retirement plan. So what is it that they're getting during that tenure that is going to feed whatever it is they're looking for their career, for themselves?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point on pay not being on the top of the list. I mean, we see things that are on the top of the list are, what's my long-term career path? And, you know, what are the level of service and the different items of how are we giving back to the organization? And what does it look like from my engagement with other people? And what am I going to learn during the process? How are you going to develop me as an individual? I mean, those are all key questions, and I think technology is not doing us a big favor right now in helping during that recruiting process to be able to show that. Because Ben, I'm just sitting here thinking, since you were talking at the beginning about the fact that, you know, hey, going and applying for a job isn't a great experience. It ought to be an awesome experience. It ought to be incredible experience for that individual coming in, because Tiffany, to your point, the level of competition that's going on out there right now for people is pretty massive. And I heard from one of the smartest people in the recruiting business told me that when the unemployment rate is really, really low, you have fewer candidates, it's much, much easier to recruit because you don't have as much noise in the system. And the people that you're recruiting, you can pay a lot more attention to, mm-hmm. you can focus on a lot more details. But when the unemployment rate is higher, like it is right now, or if there's heavy job transition, and we're seeing really heavy job transition with a lot of our clients sure. right now recruiting becomes so important and is so difficult because you're looking at hundreds, maybe 1,000 applications. And how do you create that experience for those individuals using technology to be able to process that in a way that they're like, this is an awesome experience, as opposed to, oh, well, I filled in my application using LinkedIn and I pushed a button and yeah, that was easy, but I didn't get any feedback. Mm-hmm. There was no mechanism to engage me. I never heard from a person during the entire process. All I got was email reminders and email notifications, and there was no human component to what was going on. Now you're creating this awful experience of, I'm being recruited by a machine, not sure. by a person, and is that now a place that I really want to work at? And I just wonder how many people are caught in that trap today of, well, we're just automating so much of the recruiting process that we miss the human side. We miss the human element.
Well,
so,
and then, oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask Chris then, you know, in that tune, I mean, we've gone from, you know, well, I haven't been in the workforce incredibly long, but we've gone from probably years and years ago, there was one person in a room with probably thousands of resumes sitting on their desk, and they said, you know, manually look through all these pieces of paper and go find someone for this job. And now we've made it to the, you know, the technology side of things where it is extremely automated. There's technology, there's AI looking for specific people and rising, you know, certain resumes and profiles to the top. How do we blend the two, and especially being in a virtual world now, for the time being, how do we blend the technology side of things, the automation, the AI, all the great tools that are able to, you know, find the right candidate with the human side of things, with still wanting to be, I want to talk to and see the person I'm going to work for or work people I'm going to work with. How do we blend that? How are companies that are blending that approach to really create that human side of the employee experience, but also using technology to find, you know, the great candidates?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, Bidit, because I think that we can allow AI to overtake us, and the AI overtakes us and is going to make all the decisions for us, right? I mean, there's systems and technologies that will do video interviews where you're not being interviewed, you're being recorded. And then the AI engine is going to come in and actually going to evaluate your facial expressions and when you're speaking at certain times and was that believable or non-believable. I mean, it goes through this entire AI process and it sounds, wow, that is so cool. I can find out all this information about this individual. But wait a second. What about the candidate side of mm-hmm. that? Wait, my interview was, I recorded video with a machine so it could analyze me. I mean, again, the human element begins to miss. So I'm talking, to get back to your question, so I was talking to a group of CEOs the other day, and we were talking about that recruiting process and how were they either succeeding or struggling in finding the right people inside their organizations, and could they find them? And most of them were looking for senior level people and working through that process. And amazingly enough, they've switched back from using their own internal technology to going out and finding headhunters and actually paying headhunter fees now and going out and spending more time and effort on personal interactions. I had one CEO that said he's actually been recruiting for a very senior level position for 6 months, and he's having dinner with every single client. Even during COVID, he's going for every potential prospect, he's going and having dinner with them so we can get to know them better, because he can't miss on this particular hire. Now, people will go and say, wow, on a volume basis, how can I ever get there? I think the reality is it's the same. It's really, really important to get to know these candidates, but also for the candidates to get to know you. And so to your question, how do you begin to balance that? It's a merging of, I've got a lot of technology and a lot of resources, but with every step that I have for a candidate with technology, I want to have some level of personal interaction. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a 50-50 balance. It may be simple. It may be a personal note that's sent to somebody in the mail. Mm-hmm. It may be something that's engaging in a process that's not for all 1,000 candidates for a job, but maybe for the final 100 that you begin to scale down. Those people who are going to come into your organization, you've got to be able to touch them and speak to them and engage them in a way that they really want to come work for your business, because it's a sales process. It's competition now. It's not, hey, I've got a great company, of course you want to come work for me. It's got to be, this is why you're going to be so valuable at my organization. That's a critical piece.
So I think, you know, I don't want to undermine what the technology can do for us and eliminating the noise, but I think it's being intentional. So I think it's being intentional in the process and what noise is it you're trying to eliminate. If you eliminate every person who doesn't have 10 years in the position you're looking for, you've lost a lot of really great experience maybe it's not the exact position, but what were the transferable skills? So I think it's really key, and in something, in certain positions that we hire for, there's sometimes overnight we've got hundreds of candidates, and it's like, I don't even know where to begin. So it's balancing when you're setting up or you're configuring your technology to help eliminate the noise and know what's just the loud noise versus where are the people who are high potential candidates for the role inside of your organization, not just because they check the box, right? We want to make sure we never get to it's just a list that we're checking off, because it goes into some of our earlier conversations. That's not the best way to build relationships. Employee engagement or engagement is around that relationship. It starts with your first interactions. That first, it's kind of like it's the first date. You know, are they going to come back for more? Do I want to come back for a second date? So how did we engage? I think the other thing is, being a person who interviews quite often, my most favorite candidates typically are the ones that obviously we have an open conversation, but then they almost always follow up with an email that's not just a, hey, thanks for your time, but I really enjoyed the part of the conversation where you said X, because that reiterates that they heard what I was talking about. And I think it's this just as important for organizations to take the time, even, hey, following up with an email, thanks for your time today, because their time, the potential candidate's time is just as important as the person who's interviewing them.
Yeah, I think that to get to the technology part, if technology is providing information in the recruiting process balanced with personal interaction that helps us make decisions, mm-hmm. technology is working very well for us. Mm-hmm. If technology is doing all the work for us, then we're going to miss candidates. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the vendors say about how accurate their AI engines are in the entire bit. We all know that there's intangibles with people,
sure.
that you don't recognize unless there's some level of direct engagement with them. But I think technology, providing information to drive decisions, that's where we'll see technology on the recruiting side being most effective. One other thing I want to add in, because let's not only think about recruiting then, and Tiffany, you and I have seen this a lot, recruiting externally, but recruiting internally as well. Because as you continue to go around the employee experience lifecycle, you're always going to get to a point, well, I'm going to promote somebody. Well, that's a new recruiting event, mm-hmm. and we can't miss that piece as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not only how great are we doing for our external candidates, sure. but how well are we doing for our internal candidates as well.
That's an interesting point. It's definitely not just a single experience life cycle. It is a true life cycle where it continues to you continue to go around the circle and make it all the way from recruiting to that promotion level where you're going through the recruiting process again. Granted, it might be a little bit different as an internal employee, but still the same of I'm trying to get a new job within the organization and move on to just start over. And speaking of that, internal or external, let's move over into the onboarding conversation. I think onboarding is just another great continuation of the recruiting process, but now you've, as to use your analogy, now you've gone on several dates and you're ready to commit. And now you've got to fulfill that commitment, right? You've got to really bring in that person to start bringing them in the organization, teaching them the tips and tricks and to do their job, but also integrating them into the culture, mm-hmm. Integrating them into what the end goal is for them as an employee, but for the whole organization. So, Tiffany, why don't you start us with just conversation around technology for onboarding? How is it best leveraged? Is it integrated directly into the recruiting technology? Is there what are you seeing and kind of what's been working best?
So actually what I see a lot is that organizations have a tendency to have a varied opinion on the importance of onboarding and the effectiveness of onboarding. I think when we talk about that period of onboarding, there's no question how critical it is for the new employee. But how we do it is what's at the base of the question, right? I have a lot of organizations that say, hey, they have their first day training. They have all of their modules that tell them about their culture, and then they go through these series of online modules. That's training. That's information about the organization, but that's not truly going through an onboarding process. That's not truly integrating them into the organization. And that's the piece where it does take technology to do that, but it's not a sit down for 6 hours in front of your computer or attend this VILT. It's really getting to know who's the leaders, getting to know the mission and the purpose behind the organization, and then helping them see where they fit into that. And I think that that's the other key piece, really, with employee engagement. Great, this company has great values. They have a wonderful mission.
Yep. I love what you were talking about earlier, integrating them into the business, mm-hmm. right? It's not just, okay, I got your I-9 done, and I got all your other forms filled out, and you got your insurance elections, and yeah, you can be in the 401k plan. Okay, that's not what we're really, that is part of onboarding.
It's important.
And it's important, and there's a level of personal engagement that goes on there. But what we're really talking about is, let's go take that next step, and let's now begin to drive the integration of somebody into the business. How do you get them in there so that they understand their role and they understand the opportunities and they understand the values and the culture, and you give them connection points so that as they're going through their life, they've got resources and people to rely on. You can use technology to facilitate that, as you said. The thing you can't miss is the human element of how you're going to use technology in order to be able to do that. Because if you were to automate an entire onboarding program, I got recorded training, I'm gonna fill out all my forms online, and the final step is you get to talk to your manager after you completed all the onboarding. Thank you very much, here you go, have a great time. That's an awful onboarding experience. You've gotta have a different level of engagement. Now, we'll say onboarding technologies are not great right now. They're not at this place where you can design these unique workflows and do this unique process of how do we get somebody into an organization. Most organizations are really using more of the learning management or the learning technologies in order to be able to drive that onboarding, which we'll connect to and get to in a little bit. But it creates an absence of a process because there's no technology to enable it. And I think that it almost gets skipped over.
So are you saying that based on what we're talking about when we talk about onboarding and our employee experience, that there's no one-size-fits-all technology that just covers onboarding, but there are a series of tools that an organization can use for their strategy on how to best integrate somebody?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's the key, is a series of tools mm-hmm. to be able to help in that process. In fact, let's just kind of open that up for the entire technology conversation we're having today. This is about an ecosystem.
Sure.
It's not about one tool that's going to solve everything. I can't go to one vendor and one vendor is going to do everything for me. Because if you do that, then you're going to get a vendor who might do recruiting well and onboarding average, and then the management side's terrible, and then the payroll side kind of works. Oops, there's no development, there's no promotion opportunities, there's no employee engagement. I mean, you begin to look at that and you try to do it with one tool and you're going to get suboptimal results. It has to be an ecosystem. So as you said, on onboarding, a series of tools, which makes it critical that you've got the right strategy and plan in place in order to utilize technology to be able to drive that forward.
To fill the gaps.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's continue on the employee experience lifecycle and really focus on the management side of things. Whether you've been recently recruited, onboarded, and hired to be a manager, or I've been promoted to a manager, or I've been sitting as a manager within the organization for years, management is, I think, different for every individual, every group of individuals, and every organization, but the technology remains similar. And how that's leveraged. So Chris, talk about just overall management as it relates to the employee and life, employee experience life cycle, and then how technology is in play there in supporting those specific management needs.
Well, I think on the management side, we see a lot of tools that are pretty good around how do I manage goals, how do I manage some activities inside the organization. You know, there's still pros and cons to, am I going to do performance reviews, annualized performance reviews? There's new technologies that are out that deal with constant conversations and how do we record a lot of that information. I think the one big gap area for almost every technology in terms of management is it's very employee focused. It's not very manager focused. And we're not doing ourselves favor by having technology that really enables and drives a manager's capability to be a leader and to be engaged with those employees. We might see gap reports as a manager. Okay, who completed training and who didn't complete training? Who completed their goals and who didn't complete their goals? Okay, well, all that is, it sounds like a bunch of retribution of, hey, well, you didn't get this done, we didn't get that done. Oh, you got that done, that's nice. But where's that level of engagement? And I think that's a critical piece that we have to look at for additional tools in coaching and development and training around the management section is that we have to focus more on the manager as well as the employee.
I see a lot with clients who are putting in new systems that their focus is we want to have a great user experience, which is absolutely one of the things you should focus on, but they don't necessarily break down what are their personas and how are they going to provide that experience for each persona. And I'm not just talking points and clicks. The other point is I'm a manager inside of an organization. Let's say that this organization does a great job of promoting from within and I've never been a manager before. You have the tools where you can help that person and set them up and give them some foundation of taking on that new role. Just, are you putting together the training or the enablement to do that? Or is it, congratulations, you're a manager. You have some things to do inside the system for your employees. There's that. Let's make sure that we leverage the same tools, but from a different persona so that we can provide that great employee experience.
I think that's one of those places where we see a gap with a lot of organizations that have implemented technology is they do a wonderful job, and vendors do a good job of enabling administrators. And then they do absolutely no change management and no enablement of a manager over how to use technology. And so then what happens, what's the gap? Well, the manager doesn't know how to use the technology, therefore, is the employee going to use the technology? Maybe some young go-getters are going to be out there and figure out how to use it. But if the manager's not using it, the employee's not using it. So this management process is really a core element of making sure that both employee and manager are engaged in technology together, because if you're not doing that, you're never going to get to the point of having the information you need in order to be able to make decisions, either as an employee on what level of engagement do I want to work through, or the manager of, well, where is this person's gaps, where are their opportunities, where can I encourage them, and where can I be a leader for them to help them drive them to the next step?
Yeah, I think the managers, from a technology perspective, really set the tone. And if they're leveraging the technology that the organization is giving to them to help manage their people and manage their employees' learning and talent processes, helping drive them to the right development places, helping them uncover what they, you know, certain things they need to do on a performance side of things, then that's going to only encourage the employees to leverage that technology as well and enhance and really tune into the right employee experience for them. I think they set the standard there. So just like you said, Chris, if there's no change management or no enablement for those managers to leverage the technology in the right way, it all filters down and it creates a big issue across the whole organization. And I think that goes beyond learning and talent technology too.
Sure.
It's communication technology, whether you're using Slack or Microsoft Teams or whatever that may be. That I think that's huge, and I think those are especially, you know, we keep it's a It's a point that's difficult to not make, but it feels very repetitive. But the whole virtual thing, I mean, it has to be, it's part of everything now. It's part of communication, it's part of learning and development, and it's just an ever-changing world. So I think the technology is supporting that as long as you have that right, flow down the organization of enablement.
Yeah, I think during the pandemic, one of the best things that our leadership team did was identified that when we were all moving to Zoom meetings, Teams meetings, we had to go through and train and enable the entire organization about how to go do that. And just that development process and providing the support and the resource and the tools, and then setting up managers to have regular check-ins and team meetings and working through that entire process, it was fairly simple to enable and engage and to do, but the value and the impact was phenomenal. And I think all organizations ought to think about those small little things again that they can do in order to be able to turn that management of technology into a real positive.
I want to add a distinction here. When we're talking about enablement, we're not talking about technology training. These are the buttons and the points and the clicks. It's here are the tools, and here's what they can do, and here's how you leverage them. It's important to know how to navigate through the system, but here's a development plan. Here's how you set one up. It doesn't tell a manager anything about the purpose and the value of a development plan. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot more, and we took the time with some of our tool sets too to really go through, this is what we're able to do with it. Here's the value that it provides. Here's why you leverage it. Plus, if you point and click here, some really cool things happen.
Yeah, that's great.
So let's continue on our journey here and talk about everyone's favorite subject, pay. That's why we show up to work every day, let's be honest. You know, we all want to get paid and we all need to get paid to continue working. So I think from my perspective, I would say the pay part of the technology is ideally something you want to set up and as much as you can, forget about it, because you want it to be working correctly every 2 weeks or every whatever the cycle may be, and it needs to continue on without any hitches, or the employee experience will fail miserably. So, tell us about how that contributes to the overall life cycle, and what pieces of tech or what areas of technology really impact that the most.
Well. You're on the pay side, it just has to work.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work, you're in trouble. If it works the way that you expect it to, there are no rewards. Mm-hmm. It just has to work. So when we look at everything from payroll to benefits to all kinds of different compensation activities that are going on in that pay cycle, it just has to be really consistent. Now, there's no great rewards inside that. There's no development activity. There's no future opportunity. There's no encouragement. There's dollars and cents. There's numbers that are inside that piece. However, this may be the single location where you have the most employee engagement, because employees want to go log into technology and they want to find out, okay, well, what's my taxation? What are my elections for deductions? What are my benefits? How do I apply for vacation time? How do I, look at long-term leave? How do I know what the holidays are? I mean, this part of the technology, you're going to get a lot of engagement and a lot of activity. The key is, how do I use that level of interest and activity? Because you said people are here to work for pay. They want to go look at that information, but how do you use that to be able to go drive people to other parts of your learning and talent management technology? How do you use that to drive them to go think about a career path, to go think about what their development activities are, to think about the goals that they've set with managers that they can work through, to think about reaching out to people inside the organization that may begin to be a part of a mentor program, or go look for a coach inside an organization. I think it's a platform that, again, as I said, has to work. It just has to work. We got to pay people. It just has to work. But if I'm in there looking around, I want to be encouraged to go do other things inside the organization And I think that's the type of engagement that has to happen. And that's going to be done through communications, through the right user experience and workflows as well.
So as we you know, obviously get employees paid and go through the whole life cycle, there's the development part of things. Developing managers, developing employees, having managers develop their employees. Tiffany, talk about the technology that supports overall development of individuals as well as management and beyond, you know, the
sure.
folks that are even in the executive level.
I think this is one of the places where we're seeing lots of change, and I would even almost go out and say innovation in a bunch of the talent platforms, right? This is critical. You know, we talk a lot about the generations in the workforce, and, you know, there's a whole lot of conversation around millennials, and even now there's a generation, you know, after them. We're moving into this place where, and I think I said it on a few podcasts, you know, Bennett, you and I grew up with a device in our hand. It wasn't like, oh, wow, what are these things? We grew up with them by our side. And so with that being said, we have to make sure that we take the time to use the thing that we're most comfortable with, which our generation or even, you know, the younger generations is going to be around that technology, to make sure that we're engaging with them, but giving them that opportunity and that path forward. I know that they say a lot of things around the different generations, some good, some bad. But one thing that's really, really clear is that the younger generations are about what is that career path and how is their work flexible so that it can blend with their life, right? And so that development opportunity is really an opportunity where organizations can come in and help people see and provide opportunities so that they can be their best selves, so that they can grow in their career, so that they can continue down a career path or climbing a ladder or expanding their skills and expertise. And that's the stuff that we're starting to see come out, you know, development plans and that gathering that constant conversation. It's not just about, oh, you know, moving away from the annual employee review to having a you know, a paragraph a week based on what they talked about, but it's those more often, those touch points that the people are getting something from it. The employees are getting something every time they're having that touch point with their manager, and they're able to bring up, well, I want to know this, or I'd like to learn this, or I'd like an opportunity to know where I can move next inside the business, and then leveraging the tools. The other thing, and I'll try not to go down too much of a tangent, but is around skills, right? We are in this place where you may not have the person who's been doing the job for 20 years to come fill the vacancy. As a matter of fact, because of the younger generation coming in, you're going to have to find somebody with less experience, but the ambition and the desire to learn on the go. So what are the skills that they need that may not be specific to that individual position, but that they have that are transferable or related to what you're trying to develop in them? And then how do you fill the gap? We can leverage the technology, and there's lots of stuff that the platforms are doing around you know, AI again, and where they've got these interactions inside of the system. But then how do we fill that gap in that development so that we can help mold that individual into the position or the role that they're seeking, but we also have to fill?
Yeah, I think in terms of development, if you're a business owner today, if you're a business leader, CEO, you know, head up a division, if your organization does not have an individual development plan available for every single person in the organization at this time, then you've got a real, real problem. I think that, and I'll say technology-enabled development plan, you've got real trouble, because your competition is going to come and steal those people, because they will have development plans for those individuals. If you're lucky enough to have a career pathing tool inside your organization, then beginning to build those career pathing tools and allowing people to select career paths is critical. And I think for today, we're just beginning to see some of those evolve in a really good way. I think in the future, if I look 12 months from now, if you're not already implementing career pathing inside your organization, you're going to be way behind the curve, because there is a high dependency, not just to the millennials, but I even know people that are my age that are in companies that are, I've got a really good friend who is in the pharma business, and he's trying to figure out, What's the next stage? I got 10 more years of this company. That's what's right. The next thing to begin to do? Where's my development path? Or do I take the really good offer from the other company in order to be able to move forward? I think that those pieces are critical on the development side. It's not just about, well, I'm just going to develop one skill. It's about developing a career.
Sure.
And I know we're going to have another podcast here in a few weeks on skills, and we'll dive into that. But boy, Tiffany, I'm with you. I could go down into excruciating level of detail. But those identifying gaps, understanding the gaps, openly communicating to people that they have gaps, but here's how we're going to work together to go solve this problem, to remediate your learning and your skill gap, I think is going to be incredibly important to every single business owner moving forward.
One other thing I want to add around development is, you know, what we're seeing a lot now are that people don't have a single career. It's not get out of high school, go to college for 4 years, and have your career. This is something that is evolving and changing, and people are making career changes, maybe not once, maybe 2 and 3, 4 times. And so how they get that on-the-job training and they can develop into those new roles is
totally. Yeah, I think in kind of in closing, as we get to the last part of the life cycle, the employee experience life cycle, but really the restart, I think, of the life cycle for that employee is promotion. So if the employee experience, I believe, has been supported and grown, and technology has supported that throughout this whole employee experience life cycle, the path to promotion is simple. It's grown that employee, it's developed that employee, and they're best supported to find a new role or find the next level of a role or continue to contribute to your organization in a new different way. So as we make it to promotion, I think the technologies that we've talked about before are all in support of that, whether it's payroll, whether it's learning and talent, and succession. Succession is key for some parts of promotion and being able to identify who's going to take over a critical role once changes are made in the organization or people move on or retire.
I would love to see a shift in businesses where the focus of planning for succession and future is not the top 10%, but it's 100% of the organization, that we look and we say, every person that walks in the door, I want to set a goal that they can be promoted to a different role inside the organization. And we eliminate this idea that there's only a certain subset of people that will ever be in promotion, because every single person needs to have that opportunity.
Agree. So again, another one of my hot topics where I get very passionate. But I think when it comes to technology and our position on promotion, is it's really about technology enabling the organizations to truly see the talent that they have inside of their organization. You know, I've heard clients talk about, you know, how do I build a candidate pool? And it's like, well, first you should start with what you have. Don't go search for somebody. Don't go pay to go find somebody external. I mean, you can do that and that's important, but you've already invested in a lot of people inside your organization. So let's work on getting the maximum return on that investment. How can we bring them to the next level? Who are they? What are their skills? What were their ambitions? All these things have been collected in the previous spots in the employee experience lifecycle. We collected those development actions. We collected their progress on goals and the feedback from managers. So now we know who they are, and we can have a clear picture of the talent and truly where we can move and where do people want to move, so that we can make better choices around promotion. It's not really anymore about who did you make friends with, or did you speak up loud enough in that meeting so that you caught somebody's attention. Now it's a lot more about your whole process to get to the point of being promoted.
Do we have the information to be able to identify those individuals that need to be moving throughout the organization? And I think it's always been really curious to me why, oh, we got a new position, we need to go get it filled, what are we going to do? Let's look for somebody external. Well, wait a second, why didn't you look for anybody internal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's easier to get the information on the internal person than it is, I mean, the external person than it is the internal person. Okay, well, that blows my mind. I can't even make sense of that. They're an employee. They work for you. Well, that manager wouldn't want us to begin to hire them. That's excuse number two. Yeah. That manager wouldn't want us to begin to look at that. Okay, so this is a great employee that has an opportunity to fill a real need inside the business, but because the manager doesn't want you to look at them, they're more than likely now going to exit the company because they just went and saw you hire externally for the job that they wanted in the future. Okay, so now we've created a turn scenario inside there. And then, you know, the third and final reason out of that is, well, it's just too difficult. It's just too difficult, so it's easier to just go ahead and recruit externally. I think that we've got to just look at the entire organization as this pool of really loyal employees who are working here for you today, that you can now use all these tools that we've been talking about to go pull together information that can help you identify, can find people, can say, gosh, this person has gaps. Well, we can develop them, and now we can turn them into an even longer-term employee.
That's right.
I think there's just tremendous opportunity for businesses to look that way and to pave a path to the future that's all around really engaging and creating this great employee experience using technology.
Awesome. I appreciate you both joining us today and talking through technology and then how that really impacts employee experience, good or bad, hopefully always good, but as we all know, nothing's ever perfect. So we hope you found this valuable today. I appreciate you both, as I said, and I hope you join us next week as we talk about the business impact of employee engagement and how that really drives things forward. It kind of sums up everything we've talked about so far from the technology, strategy, and people. So again, at Blue Water, we partner with our clients to care for and develop their people for the future of their business and the transformation of the world. And we like to connect it to the human side of learning and talent technologies. Hope you join us again next week and have a great day. Thanks.